I recently had the pleasure of getting to share the gospel with a young lady who asked me very plainly, what do I need to do to make it into heaven? Or how can I make it into heaven is what she said. And after I shared the gospel with her, she seemed very receptive to it. And we talked for quite a while, and then she asked me how to pray. So I got to share that with her. We got to talk about how to pray, and after we talked about that for a while, she asked me what she should do next. And I said, well, amongst other things, I told her to find a good church, and I offered to help her with that. And then I told her, I think you should read the Gospel of John. Read the things Jesus said and did. Read and see what he did for you on the cross. And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. We are going to look at what our wonderful Savior did for us. And we're going to read and see what he did for us on the cross, because today is, of course, Good Friday. So tonight I want us to take a look at 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll be mostly talking about verse 24, but I'll read 21 through 25. But 1 Peter, I'll start in verse 21 through 25. I want us to be reminded of what was done for us on the cross and how that should impact us. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this evening together as a church family. Lord, we thank you for this time of year where we get to especially meditate on what you did for us on the cross, Lord. And then in just two short days, we get to look at what you did next, Lord. And we thank you for this time of year. And we pray that you would bless our time together and bless our time in your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we start off, verse 24, with he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Our wonderful Savior bore our sins on his body on the tree, on the cross. He bore all of our iniquities, all of our shameful acts, all of those times we went ahead and did the exact opposite of what God would have us do on the cross. Our beloved Jesus, who knew no sin, as it says there in verse 22, and no deceit was ever found in his mouth. Jesus was an innocent man, more innocent than any man in history. I can remember a time in my life that I got in trouble for something that I didn't do. I got fired from Grand Union for, I won't go into the whole thing, but essentially, I got suspended from something I didn't do. And I felt very like it was a sense of injustice, right? I was so mad that they would do this to me. I got framed. I literally got framed, actually. I'll tell you the full story some other time. But I literally got framed, and I was furious because I felt innocent. But then I started to think of all the things I did while working at Grand Union. I mean, some of you are literally here today and are probably victims of some tricks that I pulled while working at Grand Union. You probably don't even know it. I used to do things like if a person that I knew or someone who was mean to me was in the store, if they were rude to me, I would simply take something out of their cart and put it back on the shelf. So then they'd get up and they'd be like, oh, I forgot to get the flour, and they'd have to go back and get the flour, and I'd just stand there and smile. So I did lots of things, right? Lots of things that very much deserve for me to get fired.
Thanks a lot, I think.
I did a lot of bad things when I was working there. a lot of funny but bad things. I deserved to be fired. I was far from innocent, even though what I was getting in trouble for, I didn't do, right? I was never truly, fully innocent. But in this case, Jesus truly was. He literally never sinned, which is really hard for us as sinners to kind of wrap our heads around. Our lives are just so full of sin. We are engulfed in sin in our society and in our own lives and all around us. We can't even seem to go 5 minutes without sinning because we're so engulfed in it. And what's important for us to understand here is when we sin, we are breaking the law of a holy God. And when you break the law, justice must be served. Our God is a just God, after all. We deserve to be punished. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. We all know these verses. And we need to remember that. We deserve that. We deserve that punishment. And our beloved Jesus, who did nothing to deserve the punishment he received, took on the punishment of the sins of all who would believe. And the punishment we deserve to pay, right? We and our disgusting sins were the cause of his suffering. And I want us to keep that in the forefront of our mind as we kind of look over Jesus' suffering. I want us to keep in mind that it was our sins that caused it. And when we think about his suffering, we naturally tend to focus on the physical aspects of the cross. We tend to focus on the physical pain that our Savior endured on the cross and the events leading up to the cross. And that's really understandable. After all, the cross was, in fact, a brutal way to be killed. And we should never forget that he truly did have a human body. And I think we don't always keep that in mind. We don't always process that correctly. He literally felt every bit of the pain that he suffered. He felt every bit of that crown of thorns being pressed upon his head. He felt every bit of their spit as they spit on him and mocked him. He physically felt the soldiers striking him on the head with a reed. He felt every bit of the extreme pain of the flogging that he received. And flogging, or being scourged, for those of you who don't know, historically speaking, is when the Romans would have basically tied, most likely tied Jesus' hands, I can't do it with my suit on, but tied his hands above his head to a post and whipped him with not just a whip, but a whip with multiple strands of leather on it, with most likely pieces of shell and lead and things of that nature embedded into the leather strands. This would have ripped our Savior's back wide open. The Jews at this time even limited the number of times someone could be flogged. You hear it said, Paul says it a few times in the scriptures, that he was flogged 40 times lest one, so 39 times. They limited it to 40 times. But the Romans, they didn't have that limitation. It's said that many people did not even survive the flogging because of the severity of it and the loss of blood. Think of that, though. The audacity. The audacity of the creation doing all of this to its creator. Created beings like you and I, doing these horrendous things to Jesus, through whom all things were created. And Jesus physically felt all of this before even going to the cross. He endured all of that before he even felt the nails pierce through his hands and feet. And then before he was even raised up and pinned to a cross in between two common criminals. Raised up all while enduring continual mockery, from the crowd, that he would now be forced to, in front of, be forced to hold up his own weight using his hand, his nailed down hands and feet as he struggled to breathe. All while his, in his human body, he felt his torn open back rubbing against the rugged cross. He looked out at the very people doing this to him, treating him like this, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's incredible love. And while we tend to focus on the aspects of the cross, the physical aspects that Jesus endured for us, because as horrendous and gruesome as they are, they're easier for us to fathom than the other aspect of what Jesus was enduring on the cross for our sake, which is taking on the wrath of God. And make no mistake, as bad as the physical aspects were, the wrath of God was far worse. You see, many believers and non-believers alike over the years and even today have endured horrific physical pain. But none have taken on the punishment for all the sins of all of his people. That's not to say Jesus sinned or was sinful, but rather he became sin. As it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." He became sin, and the Father turned his face away. He was cursed so that our sins could be forgiven. So that our sins could be removed from us. He was cursed, enduring the wrath of God on our behalf. As R.C. Sproul put it, "He who is the incarnation of the glory of God now becomes the very incarnation of the divine curse." That is why Peter very aptly refers to the cross here as the tree. You see, Peter is referring back to Deuteronomy chapter 21, when in there they're talking about people who commit a crime that's punishable by death. And it's said that the man's body is not to be left hung up on the tree overnight, as a hanged man is cursed by God. Paul also makes this point in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" And as this happened, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus is completely forsaken by the Father. Our beloved Jesus is in total agony. He became sin that we might be saved. The wrath of God on all who would believe was imputed onto our Savior. And like I mentioned before, this is one of those things in the Bible that we have a hard time understanding. We can't really comprehend. We don't know what the wrath of God feels like. But we certainly deserve to. We can picture, as horrible and as gruesome as it is, the pain of the beatings and the cross, but we can't even begin to comprehend what it would be like to endure the wrath of God, to be completely forsaken by God. And Jesus endured the wrath of God. Jesus became a curse for who? For us. And it's wild to think about the fact that he knew this was coming, and he did it willingly. We see Jesus saying in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And then we see in John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, And we see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane where he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He knew what awaited him. And he did it willingly. So as we look back on all the physical torment our Savior endured, the whippings, the mockery, the nails being driven through him on the cross, as we see how he became a curse for us, how should we respond? Well, fortunately for us in our verse here, Peter tells us. He says that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Our sin was the cause of all of our Savior's agony. He died for our sins so that we must die to our sins. I'll say that again. He died for our sins, so we must die to our sins. When we look at the cross, when we look at what Jesus endured for our sins, that should lead us to hate our sins all the more. That said, it is likely that there are people here today that are still lost in their sins. If you have yet to turn from your sins, if you have yet to repent of your sins and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if that is you, I would encourage you to look back on everything we have discussed tonight. Look at everything Jesus endured on the cross and know this. Easter's coming. The story doesn't end on the cross. Jesus rose again on the third day, showing that his sacrifice on the cross was sufficient so that we could be saved. So die to your sins and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And there's no better time to do that than now. And for those of us who are believers, all too often, we don't take our sins seriously enough. We become kind of nonchalant about them. We live like they're no big deal. I've even heard some people talk about their past sins. Some Christians talk about their past sins in an almost nostalgic sort of way. Almost like they're bragging about them. Like they aren't an offense towards a holy God. Like they aren't the very reason that Jesus suffered so much and died on the cross. We might get serious about the really big sins. We might get very solemn when we talk about the major sins we committed, but then we tend to keep around these little pet sins. And I call them pet sins, just like little sins, as if they're okay, that we just keep them around, as if they're okay to keep around. And it's those sins that we view as small, as we take them lightly and allow them to linger in our lives. And I don't know what those pet sins are for you. Perhaps your pet sins are a little bit of gossip here and there. Perhaps your pet sins are watching shows or movies that you know in your heart that you shouldn't be watching. Maybe your pet sin is laziness. You know you should be doing something, but you don't. Maybe your pet sin is some sort of idol in your life where you know in your heart of hearts, that you are putting it before God in your life. Our pet sins could be all sorts of things, and we should hate them. We must not take sin lightly in our lives. And even as I bring up these pet sins, you might be tempted to belittle them in your mind. Even now, as we just got done talking about what the ugliness of our sin is, how it caused our Savior so much suffering on the cross, you might be already trying to justify them in your mind. But that must not be the case. That's why we must continually be reminded about what Jesus did for us on the cross. We need to always keep that in the forefront of our minds and die to sin. And as the next part of our verse says, live to righteousness. In view of what Jesus in what Jesus suffered for our sake. It should not only have us die to sin, but it should propel us to live to righteousness, to live lives more like Jesus. In this case, Jesus is both our motivation and our example of how it should be done. We point to the cross and say to ourselves, look at what was done for us. And then we look at how our Savior lived, even while suffering so tremendously on the cross, and we should have that drive our behavior to live more like Him, to grow in Him, to glorify Him more and more in our lives. So here, we must ask ourselves, are we living righteously enough? Are we doing enough? Are we glorifying the Lord in our actions enough? And the answer is, of course, no. So what can we do differently? What can we do better? Sometimes I think in cases like this, it's helpful to write stuff down. Write down a way or multiple ways in which we can live lives more like Jesus. Maybe a way we need to improve. Maybe it's a way in which you can serve the Lord more. And then write it down and hold yourself accountable and ask a brother or sister in the Lord to hold you accountable. Because we all have work to do here. Because the fact of the matter is, it is never enough. When you look at what was endured for you on the cross, you can't help but realize that you owe Him everything. Which is why Peter concludes this verse by bringing us full circle as he tells us, after he tells us to die to sin and live to righteousness, our verse finishes with, by His wounds you have been healed. He brings us back into perspective, the very perspective that we need to be brought back to over and over and over again. So let us live lives in constant light of what was endured for our sake on the cross by Jesus. Let us live our lives in the constant light of the fact that Jesus paid the price we deserve to pay, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Let us always remember that by His wounds we have been healed. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we look back, as we look at what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are humbled, Lord. Help us as we go from here to keep that in the forefront of our minds, Lord. Help us to remember that in every single day, Lord. And Lord, if there's someone here who has yet to repent of their sins, I pray that today would be the day that they do that. If they have questions, I pray that today would be the day that they'd come to one of us and ask those questions, Lord, and seek You out. And today would be the day that they would repent and trust in You as their Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.